Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Welcome to Local Food Connections, a show about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. Local Food Connections is brought to you by Local Food Connect. Both this show and the Local Food Connect newsletter bring you voices from community gardens, farmers markets, food co-ops and grassroots organisations that are tackling food insecurity, sustainability and food sovereignty head on. We're broadcasting from Wurundjeri country and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We respect the enduring strength of First Nations people and acknowledge their long heritage of agriculture and care for the land in which our food is now grown. This is our second show from the Zero Waste Festival, which was held at Federation Square on the 6th of September, and it was a really great success. Today, you're just going to hear some little clips from conversations I had with stallholders. First up, you're going to hear from Peter McConville, who's a holistic funeral director from an organisation called Natural Grace. So here's Peter. And Peter is from Natural Grace, and there's a stall here, Natural Grace. What's that about?
Well, I am. It's Natural Grace is a funeral director, company, but a little bit of a different one. Pardon me, a bit croaky. We have quite a environmental and sustainability bent to sort of basically everything we do internally and with our guests, the people who come into our care, and our families who we're also looking after at end of life. So, we'd like to not push any particular agenda, but we like to offer people a broad range of choice. And some of those things can include you don't have to have a coffin or a casket when you're getting buried or cremated. You can have a simple shroud. The shroud can be an old bedspread or an old tablecloth even.
You mean a shroud without any kind of box around it?
Yes. Basically so. There is a requirement for some sort of rigidity in the bottom of it, particularly for cremation, because the body would be propelled into the cremator on rollers. Oh. And also for burial, just from the point of view of dignity and that the burial process is as dignified and as gentle as possible, particularly on the living, that it's not, if you like, floppy.
I understand, yeah. Not an insult to the person at the last minute.
Yes, I mean, we'll do it. Our rules are basically we'll do anything that's legal, that's dignified and is safe. Mm-hmm. So, but there's a wide range of options there. Mm-hmm. People don't have to have a coffin or casket at all.
Right. So what's, where, is it only cremation or is burial too, you said?
Burial too.
Okay, so how do I go about signing up for that if I wanted to be buried in the most sustainable way possible? What would that look like?
Okay. It would look like, in an ideal sense, on that spectrum of sustainability, it would be having a shroud in natural fabrics. The person, if they want to be dressed, would ideally be, again, in natural fabrics. It's all up basically to facilitate and expedite the return to nature of the human body. The grave would be a bit shallower than the traditional 6 foot under, stereotypically.
Why is that?
Because closer to the surface, there's more moisture and aeration. And as such, there's more bugs to get a little bit...
Yeah, I understand.
Totally.
This is what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what's the status of that soil? Does that then become
a cemetery, or can that soil be then used for other purposes after it?
The soil...
The soil that the person's buried in.
Yes.
When is that ready just to be... When can you... To be...
Reused.
Reused, yeah.
Generally, I think most cultures and cemeteries would try and respect in perpetuity the fact that it is a grave of a human being.
Right.
So but it will vary across locations, but it wouldn't necessarily be reused unless someone has requested a double grave, meaning a couple, for example. Mm-hmm. The first person who dies is in the bottom part of that grave, and then that grave is opened up to allow their spouse or significant other to be buried almost on top of them.
So is it legal to be buried in a public, in a forest? Or?
No.
No,
the government likes to have a fair degree of control over where burials of humans occur. Mm-hmm. It must be done on land proclaimed to be for the burial of humans. Each cemetery, whether it's in the city or country areas, regional areas, are run by volunteer-run cemetery trusts, and they have their own sort of rules and regulations. Some of them support a lot of the principles of natural burial. Others are less quick to come to that party, but we like to advocate for that. Not that people must be buried in that sense, mm-hmm. but it gives people more options.
And can I just ask, finally, what's your interest in that? Why offer that option? Is that...
Well, I think it's a gift back to the planet, actually. Uh-huh. That we are born with no footprint in terms of, you know, our impact on the environment. Then we live for however long we live, and we do create a footprint. And so I think it's... And we think at Natural Grace that it's important that we go out of this life with as minimal a footprint as possible, and that will improve as technology improves, but just as a moral imperative, I guess. Mm-hmm. But if people want the usual, you know, 6 foot under big gravestone, mm-hmm. we can offer that, because we're not pushing any particular mm-hmm. agenda other than the agenda of choice, I guess.
Understand. And just for my general interest, because I wonder about this, is cremation more or less sustainable than burial?
Okay, good, great question. Okay, firstly, there's two sorts of cremation.
Oh, okay.
The most commonly way to be cremated is, of course, by fire, and that is a body and their vehicle, whether it's a shroud or a coffin, is in a 1,000-plus degree furnace for maybe an hour and a half. So it's very intensive use of energy. And they're usually powered by gas and electricity, so it's not very friendly to the environment. There is now a less commonly used, partly because it's more expensive, water cremation, where the body is immersed in an alkaline water bath. The end result is the same for both cremations. Bones are left. They survive the fire and the water. And so the end result that comes back to the family is the so-called ashes. Bit of a misnomer. They're not really ashes. Mm-hmm. They're actually the crushed up bones. So sorry, I'm getting a bit detailed there.
So that the bones are left in the form of ashes, or are they somehow made into ashes?
They're made into what we call ashes by being crushed up.
Oh.
Ground up. So it's actually ground up bones. That's why it's a sort of a coarse sand type mm-hmm, texture mm-hmm. rather than floating ashes.
Ah.
So of those two options, when we're talking cremation, then certainly water cremation is better, but it's not as commonly available, and as I say, it is a bit more expensive, but not as expensive to the planet. Burial still uses energy as well. It takes up land. And in fact, vertical burials are becoming more common now, whereas normally we would expect to see a body laid out horizontally in the ground. Vertical burials, again, is becoming more common, and that, of course, at least frees up a bit of land, because we're running out of space for the living, let alone for the dead. But we also want to respect the dead and give them, because it's their forever home we're talking about.
So which one would you go for if you were going to, so what was the problem, apart from taking up land, I suppose there's also the embodied energy and the timber if you're using a coffin and everything?
That's right, the creation of a coffin. The most common coffins when we do offer coffins are untreated pine. They're the best. The so-called cardboard coffin, that's good and bad. The technology is getting better, but fundamentally they use a lot of glue.
Oh.
So they're not as good as they sort of sound. Mm. So I would encourage people basically to use a shroud mm-hmm. in natural materials. Mm-hmm. So there's grades. It's very hard to generalise on,
yes.
you know, to do an analysis by case, because people might have natural materials but have a deep grave.
All of
that sort of thing.
Peter, that's been fascinating. Thanks so much for talking to us.
Pleasure. Thank you for having us, and we just want people to be aware and not be scared of death, and be prepared, I say, for everyone.
Uh-huh.
It's the best gift you can give to your family is make your wishes known verbally, in writing. Don't have to sign up for a funeral director necessarily if you don't want to, but at least let your family have the peace of mind of, okay, it's sad, mum's gone, but I'd have to start second-guessing what she wanted.
And having arguments.
And having arguments and second-guessing what are forever decisions, important decisions.
Yeah.
Like the big difference between cremation and burial, you don't want to get that wrong.
No.
And that gives peace of mind to people, and that's palpable, and I see that, and I would encourage it so everyone has that peace of mind.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I'm here today at the Zero Waste Festival in Federation Square, and I'm talking to Theo. Hi, Theo.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. And what are you doing here today?
So I'm here with my family business, Fridge Friend. It is a fridge filter that you put in your fridge, and it absorbs ethylene gas, mold, mildew, and bacteria, and that in turn helps your produce last longer.
Ah, I see. Have you got any idea of how much longer?
So it varies. We're working with the CSIRO at the moment to get exact testing on how long it lasts, but we've had customer reviews saying produces last up to 3 weeks longer. So,
wow.
Yeah.
And how did you get into that? That's very, very niche.
Yeah, so my dad actually started a similar business over 10 years ago using the same mineral, but in a commercial setting, so for commercial cafes and restaurants and cool rooms. And then had the idea with my brother to make it available for households, because obviously they were struggling with food waste as well and wanted to help other Aussies. So that's how it came about.
Because so much food waste is at restaurants and houses, isn't it?
Exactly. And Australia is a really, really big contributor to food waste, so we obviously wanted to help any way that we can.
That's fantastic. Anything else you can tell me about this product?
Family business. It's literally just my dad, my brother and myself, so it's a very small team. But yeah, we're super passionate about wanting to help Aussies reduce food waste, and we actually also provide a lot of education around food waste. We have a really good free guide on our website that talks about how to best store your produce to get the longest life out of them.
Can you tell us your website so people can go find out for themselves?
Yes, www.fridgefriend.com.au.
www.fridgefriend.com.au. Thanks so much, Theo.
Thank you.
Commons Social Change Library is an online collection of educational resources for those campaigning for social change. It collects, curates and distributes the key lessons and resources of progressive movements around Australia and across the globe. The library includes over 500 resources covering campaign strategy, community organising, activist history, digital campaigning, diversity and inclusion, and much, much more. It's free to access the library, so check out the collection at www.commonslibrary.org. Commons Social Change Library is a 3CR supporter.
Help us stay radical. Become a regular donor to 3CR. A regular donor is someone who loves 3CR so much that they set up an automatic donation to 3CR on the same day every month. Throughout September, we're asking you to become a regular donor. By setting up an ongoing automatic monthly donation, you'll help provide a stable foundation for 3CR. If we know we can count on your donation every month, it means we can better plan and resource our broadcasting. Whether it's First Nations justice, workers' rights, climate action, independent music, housing advocacy, or disability activism, your regular support ensures that these movements and struggles have a platform every single week. 3CR is determined to stay independent. This means we don't rely on corporate sponsorship or government funding. We serve our community, not corporate interests. But this also means we do rely on people like you to keep the station running. From paying the bills to maintaining our studios to training the next generation of community broadcasters, 3CR relies on community donations to survive. By becoming a regular donor, you can help us stay resilient and radical. Will you help 3CR by becoming a regular donor today? Together, we can keep independent voices on air. Go to 3cr.org.au.
This is the Local Food Connection Show on 3CR 855 kHz on your AM radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. You can also visit the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show. Today I'm at the Zero Waste Festival talking to stallholders about the contribution they're making to reducing waste in Victoria and often in relation to food waste and food packaging, and also about their campaigns against unsustainable ways of dealing with waste.
I'm here today at the Zero Waste Festival with Caden Maggie from Food Filled. Maggie, what is Food Filled?
So Food Filled is a local food rescue organisation, and we are dedicated to diverting food from going into the landfill and redistributing it to people in need through our charity partners or our agency partners.
Okay, and who are your agency partners, Caden?
So we work with a whole range of agencies. Anyone that services the community who experience some form of food insecurity. So that could include soup kitchens and homeless shelters. That could be crisis accommodations or refugee centres or schools. Really anyone that's requiring additional support for food.
And how does it work? Do you go around and collect all the food and then in a van, or how does that work?
Great question. So something that sets us apart as a food rescue organisation is that we're completely volunteer-centric. So we have just under 400 active volunteers as part of our volunteer network. And how our model works is our volunteers, they collect edible surplus food from our retailing partners in their own personal cars. So that might be your larger retailers like Aldi, Woolies and Coles, or your smaller independent businesses, so your local bakeries and your local greengrocers. So our volunteers, they load the surplus food into their cars and then they drive that directly to our charity partners.
Oh, directly to a particular agency that needs
exactly.
food.
Oh,
that's,
exactly.
That's interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And how open are Woolies and Coles and Aldi to this sort of thing? How much do they use it for greenwashing is what I'm going to say, and how much are they doing it for the good reasons?
Really good question. So at the end of the day, especially with the larger retailers, we have contracts in place to ensure that everything follows, you know, particular protocols, so everything's very structured in that sense. At the end of the day, you know, they know that food waste is, or excess food is, you know, it's a prevalent issue, and they need support in actually being able to move
their
food.
They've got to shift it somehow.
Totally. Yeah, exactly. And so that's why, you know, we really work to fill the gaps in the food rescue industry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're talking about the larger retailers, but it's the smaller retailers who really need the support, right? At the end of the day, they're still going to have excess that they need to manage. It might only be, let's say, 5 or 10 kg a week on one particular day,
yeah.
Right? But they still need support, otherwise they're going to have to throw that away. And for those smaller businesses as well, that increases their disposal costs, right?
Okay,
so
yeah.
So from a financial... Everybody. Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And Cade, what's your role been so far?
So I work as the head of programs. So there's the general operation team that organise the volunteers and the deliveries between the retailers and the charities. I work with corporates for corporate volunteering days, as well as education and advocacy in schools and community centres. And then we have learner driver programs and all abilities programs for NDIS providers. So anything that's supporting our work that's outside of the general volunteering experience.
Wow, that's a big job.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay.
Okay. Anything? I'm interested in why it's youth-led. Is it important that it's a youth-led
program? I think originally we were created by young, early 20-year-olds who wanted to contribute to their community through their university, time at university. Oh, okay. And so at that time, it was all organized by young people, and all the volunteers were young people. We are slowly trying to redefine ourselves as an organization that's still largely run by young people, but there isn't a strict requirement and prescription for young people being involved. We have volunteers ranging from 16 years old up to 80. A lot of our partners and our board are also, you know, not youthful anymore. Well, they're not in their youth. So there is going to be somewhat of a strategic brands restructuring. That's not to say that we don't still work with a lot of youth in advocacy and education, but it's no longer the forefront of what we do.
Yeah. Okay, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you.
Hello, I'm here at the Zero Waste Festival with Dino Goodbrew, and the reason that Dino is called Goodbrew, I'm pretty sure, is because he is selling kombucha.
That's right.
Okay, I'll hold this, and you tell me about your kombucha, and then we'll hear more about you.
Okay, so I've been brewing kombucha since 2010, personally, and then it became a product that I realized had a lot of power. And all of a sudden I realized instead of putting solar panels on breweries and selling beer and cider off my bicycle in Melbourne, I can sell a product that actually makes people healthy. Mm-hmm. And so I switched to kombucha, and I've had the most amazing journey with that product. I'm a big, big, big fan of living ferments. I make sure that I have at least one little bit of living ferment every day in my diet. And I can talk about that forever.
Let's talk about that just for a few minutes. What's the power of living ferments for our bodies?
It's all about diversity. So it's like, you know, if you go to a school full of European heritage people only, you end up joining the Young Liberals, and then you end up being a scourge of the planet. If you have diversity in your school, then you're going to think about things from a bigger perspective, and you're going to be a much healthier, more well-rounded human being. The same thing happens in our guts. So when I have 200 strains of living bacteria in my kombucha, and it does amazing things for the well-being of humanity and the person who drinks it. And at the moment, the only scientifically provable thing I was able to do since I started brewing kombucha is prove that a glass of my kombucha lowers your sugar spike from any meal by 20%.
Okay.
So it is a good way to avoid type 2 diabetes.
And avoid Young Liberals colonising your gut.
That's right. It's the last thing you want.
The last thing you want. So I'm talking to Leah from the St Kilda Repair Cafe, and my first question to you, Leah, is what is a repair cafe?
A repair cafe, nice to be here, nice to talk to you. A repair cafe is a place where people can come and repair any items that they have at home, or textiles, or sewing things, anything that they would like to repair but might not have the money or the time or the skill. They can come to a repair cafe and people will help them fix it for free.
So these are just other community members that happen to have the skill that...
Yeah, we have a lot of people that are retired with technical skills, or people that are just really interested and have these skills and passion.
So you can bring your lawnmower or your...
Lawnmower's a bit big, but you could bring like a lamp or a vacuum. Yeah, toaster, although please shake the crumbs out first. Yeah, lots of different things.
And what's your role at St Kilda Repair Cafe?
I'm at the front sign-in desk. So when you walk in, I'll probably greet you and say, hello, welcome in, what have you brought today? We'll have a look at what you've brought. We'll fill in a form, and then we'll try and find somebody that has the skill to fix your item.
And the mending circle, is that part of the...
Yeah, at our repair cafe, we don't call it a mending circle, but the menders are part of the same group. So yes. We have one area that's with mechanical, electrical, electronic, all these fixes, and then we have another section with lots of sewing machines for textiles and jewellery and sewing and hand sewing.
And it's once a month?
Yep, once a month, the second Sunday of the month from 2 until 5 p.m. at the Port Phillip Eco Centre.
Okay. And what else can I tell you? Have you had much interest today from people at the Zero Waste Festival?
We've had so much interest. I've sort of created this list of all the repair cafe groups that are running in Victoria, and so many people have come over to just be like, oh, I've been looking for one close to me, where do I go? And there's been a lot of interest.
So I'm looking at, you've got three A3 sheets there. So how many repair cafes are going on in Victoria?
I can't believe I didn't actually count. I'm not sure.
It looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20. It looks like about 50 or more even.
There are quite a lot of them. Yeah. And they're popping up all over the place. Like, I'm helping set up a new one actually in Malvern East.
Right.
And I think the Glen Eira City Council has helped to bring up another one. And there's a few other councils that are really trying to help these initiatives come together, which is wonderful.
The local councils have been great with a lot of these things. I've been to the Hurstbridge Repair Cafe, and I must say it was one of the most uplifting experiences I've ever been to, because it's not just about fixing things, is it? It's about the stories that people bring about their things.
That's what keeps me coming back every time. It's when people are so appreciative because this jumper has come from their mum, or their mum knitted it, and you know, it's got a hole in it, and they're so appreciative to find someone that will do it, and they might not be in a financial position, so it's their appreciation is just, it makes it everything worth it.
Thanks so much for talking to us, Leah.
Thank you so much.
We heard speakers today from the Zero Waste Festival, which was held at Federation Square on the 6th of September. The whole point of the Zero Waste Festival was to empower the community to reduce waste and embrace sustainable living practices. And there was a really interesting wide range of contributors there. And I spoke to some of them that you heard today. And remember to go next Sunday, the 5th, if you're interested, to Greenwood Farm, which is out at Bundoora Secondary College, 53 Balmoral Avenue, Bundoora. And there are tours and information sessions out there about what that farm enterprise is all about, how it's connected to the school. And there's even sessions you can attend just about growing food at home. Using food cubes and how to do fruit trees, all that sort of thing. So that's their open day next Sunday at Bundoora. So just a reminder, it's an urban farm, an agricultural education centre and a community meeting place, all operating in the grounds of Bundoora Secondary College. That's all we have time for today. Until next week, love the land you're on, share your surplus, and take care of each other. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more Radical Radio with Latin American Update. Bye for now. You are what you eat, and you are
what you eat, eats, and you're even. Local Food Connections interviews with food producers, backyard growers, and urban farmers. Join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio 855 on your AM dial, on 3CR Digital Radio, and live streaming on 3cr.org.au/streaming. Local Food Connections, a show about the importance of local food in sustainable communities. Here we go from dust to dust. You gotta just trust that upper crust and maintain that good terrain from whence you came.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.